elders in church. I'm not the pastor. For the newcomers around here that might not know me yet, we've got a family camp this weekend. Most of the guys there went visiting, and Maggie realized it's this weekend. You must look at the announcements. They are there for a purpose to remind you what's going on. And if you don't remember, remind your cell leader to remind you as well. So Maggie, go to your cell leader and have a strong word. I think you are the cell leader. I'm sorry, Maggie. I'm going to have to rebuke you here today. Okay, no, that's... Yeah, so we've got the family camp, what they've called it. So it's basically family camp, meaning that Swakop, Shofar, and that side is basically getting together with Windhoek, and we're just mingling and sharing some word in terms of where we are going as a movement in Namibia and in the world as well, and basically growing in relationship, because that's what we as Christians are supposed to be all about, relationship. And we need that relationship, and just not only to know one another, but to know God as well. And it's a place from that relationship and that love for one another that we are given a platform to go into the world as well. And that is by what we will be measured, is our love for one another. So we are still growing in that, and I believe we will definitely reach a point where God can really use us and equip us. And it's something that I just felt in my heart today to share with you guys, because it was something actually that I realized this week as well, while I was just talking with a friend. It was something that I just had to say to him and say, listen, I'm struggling. You won't believe me, but I'm struggling with my life. And it's in that moment that I said it, I just realized, but I'm not living in victory. And it was just a sense for me, it was like a shock. It's like, oh my word, I'm a son of the living God, and I don't have the victory in my life. I don't experience it. I don't feel it. And it was just a shock. Thank you, Lachia. For me to realize that and say, but what am I doing? Why am I at this point where I currently am or where I find myself? And it was just a revelation to me, but to realize this, it's a wake-up call. And it was something that I just had to take for myself and say, but this can't be. There must be something wrong here. Now, some of you might find yourselves in the same place that I felt myself this week to be. And as children of God, we're not supposed to be there. I can just tell you right now, we're not supposed to be in that place. And for whatever reason, there can be a multitude of reasons for us not being in that place of victory. Walking in the place of victory that God has called us to be in the life. It can be the sin, unforgiveness in our hearts. It can be sickness in our bodies. It can be that we are missing God's will completely for our lives, which basically amounts to sin, because we're not in the will of God. And if we're outside the will of God, we are basically in sin. And I don't know where you are, but I knew exactly where I was. So I had to repent and say, God, sorry, I'm not in the place where I'm supposed to be. But that's the amazing thing about God, which is, I'm excited about the word of God today, but also not excited, because it pertains to me. So everything I share with you today is something that God just revealed to me again. And I have to be humble and confess, I'm not perfect. I'm not the person that this church is built around, thank goodness. And it mustn't be a person that the church is built around. It's built around Jesus. It's built around God and who He is. And so many times we miss that place, that we miss that small part of who God is. God is church. This is His church. This is why we are here. Why we are in His will, or want to be in His will at least. And He just wants to use us, because He loves us so immensely. And it was just shown again for me this week, just how God responded once I was able to identify, but I have a problem. God, how am I supposed to handle this? I'm an elder in church, and I don't have the victory in my life. And And I want to ask the question, but I will not. But I want to ask you, are you living in that victory that God gave you? It's not to condemn you or anything, but it's just to ask you where you are. And I will ask a lot of questions still today. Just to almost be like God and just ask the questions. He already has the answers, but he's asking them for us so that we can realize, okay, there's something about this that God wants to show us. There's a reason he's asking the question, because he knows everything. He knows the answer. He knows why he asked that question. But sometimes he asks this question just to remind us, where are you? At what place are you standing? Are you in my will? Can you hear my voice? And that's an amazing place to be in. We are supposed to be. Otherwise, we are equal with this world. And what is this world lacking? Hope. It's an amazing thing that God just showed us that he is the hope. We do not abide in him. We do not have that hope. We do not have that life. And it's just put so beautifully in Philippians 4 from verse 5 to 7. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, along with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're in the will of God and you experience this life, you will have the peace of God. And I was seriously lacking that peace this week. And it's something I had to confess. I will even confess it to you. You might even have to confess it to me. And it's a wake-up call for us just to realize, but listen, something is wrong. And we so easily get hooked into that life. Everything is going okay. If I'm okay, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not where God wants us to operate. It's not how God created us to be. And it's shocking how many Christians live like that. And for me, that was so real and a wake-up call that I had to ask God, but God, what do I do about this? And he gave it to me in a song, and which is, I'm not going to sing to you, thank goodness, but I will share with you the actual word that was so powerful for me, that was just and which is the topic of my sermon, Life of Victory. And it can also be called Principles of Change. And the main part of scripture that I want to share with you is in Ezekiel 37 from 1 to 10. Now I will read it quickly just to give you the backdrop of what's going on. And just to reveal the amazing part of scripture, what just God just showed to me, and just say, listen, this is what I want you to do. So from Ezekiel 37 from verse 1, the hand of God was upon me and he brought me out into the spirit, in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O God, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling of the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there was sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they might live. So I prophesied, and they, as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. And they came, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now this part of scripture is actually a prophecy. Although there's many, in context of what the scripture means, I am not here to explain to you today. It was something that I've not felt in my heart to explain to you, but there are lots of words on this prophecy about Israel being resurrected that we've actually seen in our lifetimes happening. God bringing the Israelites back into one, basically into his word and to his authority. And this is part of the revelation. It also pertains to the church and what it means. But I just actually want to focus on the surface of what the scripture means. Because there are amazing principles in what is said in the scripture and what the prophet Ezekiel experienced while he was in the spirit and God showed him this vision, I would say. Now, I do not know if it was a vision or actually that something that had really happened that I can't tell you at this stage. But the principle behind it is so powerful and so amazing. It was just something that blew my mind. And that is something that was for me the start of this week. It was the truth. Where are you in your life? Are you experiencing the fullness of life? Do you have victory in life? Or do you feel a bit defeated? Dead? Lost a bit of hope? And it's just that this, where this part basically comes in, is in Ezekiel 37 from verse 1 to 2. The hand of God was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. Now, your life is fact. What you experience in life, what you have experienced in life, it is fact. You've gone through many things, terrible things, great things. I don't know your life, but you've experienced many great things. And it's not for no reason. There's a reason that you went through life. There are many things that you've experienced that's good or bad, that has changed you, that has made you who you are today. And it's not by chance that you are who you are today. There's a reason for who you are. There's a reason for you being here today in this place and receiving the word of God. There's a reason for you being in the work where you are, where God wants to use you mightily, powerfully, to change people's hearts and lives. And it's just something that is real. And you have to understand your life is what you experience it to be. It might be tough. It might be really going really well with you at this stage. I don't know. But you have to ask the question, am I in the place where God called me to be? Is this something I can experience from him? You might be in this place where the valley of bones, there are lots of bones, and bones basically equals death. There's death. There's hopelessness in this situation. It's actually beyond hopeless because the bones are very dry. It even says in scripture, it is very dry. So there's no life, there's no nothing. And water usually is the meaning of life, so these bones are dry, there's nothing in them. They are as dead can be. And it's just this place where God just shows us, listen, is your life like this, bone dry? Is it tough? Is there something that you feel, God, something must be done, something must change? And it was just this word that God just showed me and said, but the place we are in, I actually put it on the sermon as well, we are in the situation we are in because we choose to be there. We are in the state we are in because we choose to stay there. Read those words again. It is profound because it shocked me. When I wrote it down, it was just something that shook me because we are there by choice. No matter what happened, no matter what we went through, it was a choice for where we are today, what we experience today. The road we chose to travel, it was our choice. Maybe something bad happened, but you still have a choice to say, this is how we respond to this. And it was just that place that you have to acknowledge, but there's something wrong here. And the situation is such, especially in this verse that nothing could be done. And now you're wondering, why am I in this valley? Why am I seeing these bones? Why did God bring me here? Why am I in the state that I'm in? Why am I experiencing this in my life? And God just says, he asks the question. And it's Ezekiel 3, 37, verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. A very political answer. Because in your heart you know, there is no way. But if God is asking the question, there's an answer to that and a reason to that. So it's better just to play dumb and say, God, you know, I don't know. But this is a place where we have basically come to and we've exhausted ourselves in our situation, in our life. We've gone down all avenues to try and do and get things done or change our hearts, change our minds. We've done everything humanly possible. Now, there's one doctor to be almost in the house today. Now, she can tell you there's nothing you can do about dry bones. You just walk past them and ignore them. And sometimes people's lives are like that. They are beyond repair. There's nothing that they feel can be done. And that's why we have so many suicides in this world. Not only in our country, in the world. Because they feel there's nothing that can be done. There's no hope. No hope of redemption. No hope of turning. But this is a very good place to start listening to God. And asking for him, listen, I just want to hear your voice. I just want to hear you say something to this situation that I'm experiencing because there's something that needs to change here. And I cannot do it. There's not a person on earth that can change the situation. And this is where hope starts to rise because if God is in that situation and he starts speaking life and he sees this is an opportunity to show his love, he pitches every time. And it will glorify him. Because there's nothing that man can do. There's nothing that we can do to change that situation. And this is where we get our courage from. It's from God to say, listen, there is hope. But I will not change your circumstances. I will not change what you see before you. I have the power to do it in an instant, but you need to understand my glory. You need to understand my will. And I want you to do it. You have to take a stand. You have to make a choice. And this is where God basically gives the power to Ezekiel as well. And from verse 4 to 6. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now this is something very critical in this part that you have to understand. And this is another question I am going to ask you. Do you know the promises of God for you? You, Liesl, Stefan, Philip, many of you that I don't know, do you know the promises of God for you? Can you name them now if I give you the mic? Can you lay down your promises that God has given to you for your life, for your future? We must be able to do that. That God gave us a promise. He gave us a testimony that we have to share. And that testimony is based on his love, his commandments, what he took us through in our lives to where we are now. And it's an amazing place to be if you're in the will of the Father. But it will be a terrible place to be if you're outside of his will, outside of his blessing, outside of his life. And this is basically where you basically start to acknowledge, but God, this is your promise. And this is his promise to us. If you don't have that answer I asked you just now, go and look for it in the Word. His Word is full of promises of life and life in abundance. And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. But you can be in the worst situation you can dream of and you can still be in the will of the God. and it will be a perfect place to be. It might not be nice, but you would be able to sing hymns like the apostles did while they were in prison. Because it's a place where God has called them to be, and they could respond to that. So God can just use us once we start to acknowledge Him, acknowledge the situation and say it's beyond hopeless, but God, nothing is beyond You. You can take the situation and turn it around, and then it's good just to confess His name and say, God, You know what to do. I don't. And that's where it's critical to hear the voice of God. Because if you don't hear it, you're in serious trouble. And so that will be a very scary place to be. Luckily, we don't have to stay there. We can make a choice and turn this boat around and say, God, I don't want to be in this place where I don't hear Your voice. I don't see the life that you've given to me. God is greater. And it's something that we have to realize that that is something that we are not bound by our situation or our fates. We are bound by Him that lives in us. And it's such a beautiful verse in 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And this is our promise, that we can overcome no matter what the situation, but only because of Him who is in us. And that making that choice of acknowledging Him and say, God, You make the situation. I cannot handle this anymore. It's now up to You. And God comes through. Because that's what His heart is all about. Because He loves us. He wants to take us from that situation and use us to glorify His name. And that love is just beyond what we can understand. But this is also where the authority comes from God to us. Where He gives us the word. Where He gives the word to Ezekiel and say, prophesy. This is what I tell you to say to them, because this is the word of God. He didn't say it because he wanted to say it, but God gave him the words to say. This was the word of God that he had to say to these bones. And these bones had to react because it's the word of God. There's no other way that they can do. It is God. It is His word. It is absolute. And that's being in the will of the Father. Having His word. That's our backup. That's what we're standing upon. If that is not true, that is not something that we can rely on, it will be nothing beneath our feet and we will fall. Every time. That is the power of Christ. That is the power of God. Because He uses people to do this in such an amazing way that I've seen over and over and over. And it's such a beautiful place to see. Now, to prophesy, there's a short definition of it. It's a Hebrew word. Okay, I can't pronounce that very well. Naba. No. Norba. But it basically means to speak or to sing by inspiration, in prediction, or in disclosure. Now we can either speak what God is telling us, or we can sing it if you're very talented like JP and some other guys. But it's in prediction, meaning you're speaking into the future. Or the future is just so bleak that you just talk to God and say, God, I just want to speak with You because my situation is such that I don't even want to speak into the future because it just scares me if I think about it. But I just want to be in Your presence and spend time with You and speak with You. And that will maybe change my heart and my mind so I can actually start speaking into the future as well. But when God says we must prophesy, and this is not an if statement for us as Christians. This is a must statement. And something I've been lacking in my own life is to prophesy into my life, to speak into my life. Speak life into it. And I just reminded this week again to say, but you don't feel it because you don't say it. You don't experience it because you don't believe it. But once God starts believing you, and this is exactly what the prophet here is saying, but God, I don't know, but this is Your word, and if You tell me to do this, I will respond to that word and do what you tell me to do. And we must start speaking. We must start prophesying this. And then from verse 7 to 8, so I prophesied as was commanded, and I was as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. And this is the amazing part, that we can basically stand at that edge and say, God, I will prophesy. It's not okay. I heard God's word. Now He's gonna change these bones from bones to living flesh. So now I'm gonna stand and watch the show. There's actually a doing part. It's responding to what God said, and now I have to respond. But God, I will just say what You told me to say. And in doing that, we respond to His word. We say, but okay, bones, You will start to come together, and You will have sinews, and You will get flesh, and You will be covered by skin. I don't know how long He said it. Maybe He said the first word, and then basically they started happening. I don't know. But for our own lives, it might not be that quick. We might not experience that victory immediately once we've confessed this and we start saying and prophesying this. It might be a process that we have to go through. Exactly like the bodies came together, first bone on bone, the basic structure. And once the bones were assembled, they were connected by sinews. Now the doctor might explain it much better than I can. And then from that came the flesh. And from the flesh came the skin that covered everything and kept it together. So prophesying is doing. It's not just accepting God's word and saying, okay, now it must just happen. God wants to use us. He's putting us in that situation where we have to start trusting Him and speaking life in that situation, but also believing it. Because if you don't believe it, there's no way it's going to happen. Either you're trusting God or you're just saying words that are meaningless and has got no power. And that's such a beautiful part in Proverbs 18 verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And we as Christians have to remind ourselves of that promise in God's word. Either we are speaking life or we're speaking death in our own lives, in the lives of friends, family, even the church. There is so much power in what we say and what we utter with our tongue. It is unbelievable. And that is just edified by the prophecy. What prophecy is, it is speaking life through God's word. Well, it can be death as well, but that's another part of prophecy that I won't go into now. And then from verse 7 to 10, so I prophesied, and I, as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, the rattling of the bones came together. And it came together bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath. Now this is God's power being manifest. And that must be a very awesome place to be able to stand and see this happen in front of your eyes. In our own lives, to see God really working miracles, doing things that we are prophesying in our own lives, prophesying things to be, things to change, things to come, and to actually see them happen. Now, this is the very critical part where we as Christians lose it completely. Now, this can be where you can basically look at this hall. And now it's all the bones, everything has come together. And now these bodies are standing before you. The miracle has already happened. They are standing right in front of you. The miracle in your life has already happened. Change is starting to take place. But that last part. But there was no breath in them. There was no life in them. They've been assembled and they are there. Okay, I said standing, they might be lying down. I'm not just sure yet. But the miracle has taken place. Whatever has happened, God wants to do, He is done. And this is where you can start now feel good about yourself and say, ooh, look at the miracle that I have done. Ooh, look at the changes in my life. It's starting to go better. And what we do, we focus on ourselves. We lose focus of God, and now it's suddenly all about me. Look at what I've done. It's an amazing thing that took place here. And that's a really bad situation to be in, because we start thinking this miracle was relying upon us. What has happened has relied upon us. And what is now critical is that it is not us. Now, if we move away from God's will and God's word for us in this situation, we will end up with a situation much worse than the previous one was, where it was only dry bones and death. There's actually now flesh that can start rotting and create a scenario that's 10 times worse than what you walked into. And this is where we have to keep our focus. Where we have to say, but God, you've done this. What is next? And this is where the critical part comes in, where the life comes in. And this is so amazing, because it's so what God is all about and who His Holy Spirit is. It is the breath of life for us as Christians, for us as believers. Now, you can have everything, and if you don't have the Spirit, there's something lacking in you. There's a life lacking in you that you do not have and will not get. And this is part of the testimony in our own lives, where the situation that it's facing, it started to improve, it started to get better. But this is where we usually want to jump in and say, okay, now we've got the train going, now we want to keep it going. And it's our own might, our own power, our own we doing this. It's not God anymore. And we can't sustain that. We can't sustain that life, that miracle that has happened, that is using you to do, and you lose focus of God. And this is where we just have to say, God, this is your miracle. I glorify you for the changes that I see. I glorify you for the change in me and the things that I'm expecting to see even in future now. And this is the last part. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord of God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied and commanded as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And this is where we have to trust the Holy Spirit in situations and say, God, but you've changed this, but is this now it? And you will only know that God is in this if that situation that has changed does not rely upon you anymore and what you prophesy and what you say. And it's like these bodies, these lifeless bodies that has received breath now. Now they stand on their own. They don't require any words from you anymore. They can stand up and walk now. And your situation has changed, meaning that God has taken control. He's moving it forward. There's nothing that you have to do anymore. You can just glorify Him. And that is what prophecy is all about, that you prophesy God's word into this world. And God's life starts taking control. God gets the glory for that, because we can't. People might want to glorify us and say, oh, you've done this and changed that, and you're so great and you're so cool, but it is what God is doing. It is what He is changing. Because we cannot do that. Even in our wildest dreams, there's nothing that we can do in that sense that God has to do. It's only Him. And we must give Him the glory for that. But we must be able to prophesy it into the being. Only on His command. If God is in that situation and He wants you to change it, He will allow you to change it. He will help you to change it. But if God is not there and you start prophesying, you will become a false prophet. Because it's not God's will for something to happen. And you might want it to happen with all the best intentions in the world. But you will basically be sinning if you're prophesying in something that is not of God. So there's a very fine line that we have to realize that there's a lot in the situation that depends on us and the choices that we make. But there's a lot of God in it as well, if we allow Him. If we allow Him to work through us, we can prophesy life where there is death. And just change our calling that we might have lost. To take it from something that we are dragging behind us to something that's running out in front of us. Life that God and only God can give, that none of us can produce even if we wanted to. And that's an amazing part of who God is, who He wants us to be, how He wants us to live in victory. And having that life, being able to speak that life in so many situations, at work, family, whatever. Lachia is a doctor. The situations look, you can't do anything to start speaking life. As a doctor, you have so much power, but being connected with God, you have even more power. So to be really excited to see what God wants to use you, how He wants to use you, how He wants to change the world through you. Amazing platform to come. Amen. And this is where we have to stand as Christians. That we have to confess that who God is in my life is who I want to be in the future as well. And how He wants to use us, because God is greater. And it's said so beautifully in 1 John 3, verse 20 to 24. Because if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we should ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments, may we do the things pleasing before Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, who so loved and so love one another, just as He gave commandment. And the one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us, from the Spirit whom He gave us. And this just sums up the whole sermon for me, of who Jesus is, and what He came to be in our lives, and how He wanted us to live in Him, through Him, and see change happening in such an amazing way that we can just glorify Him and abide in Him. A place of glory and beauty. It was so powerful, and during the worship that I just saw Jesus and who He was and the beauty of who He was. And He wants us to be like that. He wants us to have that beauty within us that we so many times think we don't have. And this is where our hearts condemns us. That first verse in part 20 and verse 20. Because if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart. So many times we feel unworthy. So many times we are misguided by our own thoughts and feelings. And we must ask God, is this what I'm feeling inside of me? Is this from You? Is this something that I am supposed to experience? Or must I trust You? That because You are greater than what I feel in my heart, that I can trust You above what I feel, what I think, what I see. I can respond to what Your word. I can just pray for You. Ask You to change my situation, change what I experience, change what I've seen in my life, that my life can become something that glorifies You. And I can testify of that in my own life. So many times that I stood before the cross and say, God, I'm not where I am supposed to be. Take me to the place where You want me to be. And it's a race we are running. It's not a 100-meter sprint. We make mistakes. We make the wrong choices. But God is always there to say, listen, here's my hand. Let me guide you where You want, where I want You to go, where You are supposed to be. And receive the life that He's been calling us to have and receive. Amazingly, abundantly, overwhelmingly, overflowing with everything that we can hope or dream. And that's a place where I want to live, a place of victory. And not what I experienced during this week, defeat, death, hopelessness. And this is just the last thought that I wanted to leave with you. It's also a very well-known verse in Revelation 12, verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death. Now, most of you sitting here, I believe, has received the blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of Jesus, and accepted him into your lives. But what is your testimony? What is your current testimony? Is it something that happened 3 years back, 5 years back, that you will share with people in the world today? That is the power of what you are, who you are. Your testimony is supposed to change people's lives and overcome the enemy. How strong is your testimony? It's only as weak as you prophesy to be. It's only as weak as you prophesy to be. This is God. This is who he is. This is who he wants us to be. Not some meek little lamb that's waiting somewhere to be slain for no reason. If we are supposed to suffer for him, we will suffer. We must suffer that cause. But it must be in a place of obedience, because that will carry the power of the cross and the word of our testimony, that people cannot say, but this was Reinald, he did something. And this is a place where we have to be able just to humble ourselves before God and say, whatever you want, God, this is where I want to be. Amen. Can we all just stand, please? JP. Let's just close our eyes. Father God, we just want to come this morning before you, Lord, and just confess, Lord, that our hearts are weak, Lord God, that we have so many stumbling blocks in our lives, Lord God, so many issues that we have unresolved, Lord God. Lord, we just want to confess, Lord God, them to you, Father. We just want to speak into the situation where we find ourselves, our hearts and our minds to be, Lord God, that is taking itself away from you, Lord God, that it's taking away your glory, Father, that's taking away your word of life that's being spoken over us, Lord, even here now today. Lord, we want to turn our eyes and our ears and everything, our whole being, Lord, towards situations that we want to see who you are, Lord God. We want to see you change our hearts and our minds, Lord God. We want to see you, Father, to further your kingdom through us and take us from glory to glory, Father. We want to stand in that place that we are affirmed by you to say, you are a faithful servant. You've done what I've called you to do. Lord, we want to stand in that place, that affirmation that comes from you, Father, that exceeds anything we can receive from this world, Lord. Where you call us faithful. And Lord, our faith is built up according to a testimony we receive from you, Father. We need our testimonies to grow, Lord. We need our testimonies to expand, Lord, to the world, the Father, that you've called it to be. That those testimonies cannot be broken down, taken away. It is something that is so concrete in our lives, Lord God. It is set, Father. Nothing can change it, Father. We don't want anything to change it, Lord. But it's there to further your kingdom, Lord. To take the territory back from the enemy, Lord God. And just here in this place today, Father, we just want to confess our lives before you, Father. Places where the enemy have come to steal, kill, and destroy, Father. He has stolen our identity, Lord God. He's taken from us, Father, the promises that you've laid before us. Lord, we just want to confess, Father, we've allowed him, Lord, to do that. Not to open choice, but we've been tricked, Lord God. So many promises have been taken and stolen from us, Father, but we want to confess the love of God over us, Lord God. We want to confess your will, Father, your perfect will in every situation, in every circumstance, Lord God. That world will be life and life in abundance simply because we claim the name of Jesus above all else, Lord. And we hold to that name, Lord, the name that sets us free, Father. The name that gives us an inheritance before you, Lord God. And Lord, we just want to proclaim, Father, that we want to prophesy life, Lord God. We want to prophesy into every dead area in our lives, Lord God. We want to prophesy into being, Lord God. We want to start doing it, Lord God, every day of our lives, Lord God. We want to see your kingdom come, Father, in our lives. And if it's coming in our lives, Father, it will definitely come in the world around us. Because people will see it. We cannot contain it, Father. It will grow. It will expand, Father. It will be like the grain that falls in the ground and dies to itself, Lord God, and produces more grain, more fruit, Lord God, 100-fold, Lord. We want to proclaim our growth of 100-fold, Lord God, as we prophesy, Lord, over the bare ground that we have before us, Lord God. That we want to see your kingdom come, Lord God. We want to see your word bear fruit in our lives, Lord God. And it must be fruit in abundance, Lord God. Life in abundance that people will want to have the same fruit that we have, Lord God. And we are able to give it to them in such a way, Father, that glorifies you, Lord God. That gives you, Father, the glory in every aspect of who we are. Of who we are, who we want to be, Lord God, and what we want to accomplish. Father, I just want to pray for those promises that are sure, Lord God. I want to pray for those, Lord, that don't have those promises, Lord God, that don't have the truth, Lord, from your word, that has a future in store for them, that has something that they've never dreamed about. I understand, Lord God, that you will just show them, Father, those promises that are sure, that they can rely on, that they can speak over their lives, Lord God, that it's able, Lord, to guide them, Father, through the darkest night. It will be a light, Lord God, that stands on a hill, Father. And those promises that comes from you, Lord God, is so, so much better than it comes from man. And we just proclaim it here today, Father, that you are a God, our Savior, and we love you, and we want to follow you. Lord, be our guide. Show us every way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Just while all eyes are closed, I just want to ask if something that I touched on today, something in the Word of God that just touched your heart, I don't even want you to raise your hand. I just want you to come forward and proclaim it, prophesy it right now. I just want you to come to the front and just say it. If there's something that God wants me to pray for you, I will pray for you anytime. But if you want to prophesy, now is the time. If you want to speak into that situation that you've been struggling with for how long, I don't know. Now is the time to start prophesying, to speak life. Please don't hold back. This is something that's really important here today. This is the place where you respond to what God placed in your heart. And it's not my word, it's not my promise, it's God's word. It's His promise. Or even if you just have to relinquish control today and just say, God, I tried to do this on my own strength. I tried to do this with my own power. I just want to let go. I just want to see you bring life in a way that I've never dreamed before. If there's anybody here today that you've not made this choice yet, you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you've not made this choice to go from death to life, I just want to invite you as well to the front. I just want to help you make that choice because it will be the greatest choice of your life. It will change so many things in your life. It will open a world that you've never known. If that's you and God is laying it on your heart, please come to the front as well. I would love to pray for you. From my side, that's it. If you still want to pray, stay a while and pray. Please stay. Just pray. Just prophesy in your own life, every situation. Or there's somebody you want to ask just to pray with you. Please ask them. There's more than they will be more than willing to pray with you. Other than that, enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your week. God bless you. God be with you. And guide the prophecies that you speak, that there may be life. Amen. Please don't run away. We'd love to drink some coffee with you as well and spend some time in relationship. Amen.